I should be writing for April 4th, 2019. Well, I didn't get the number, but at least I got the date. Hello. Welcome to I Should Be Writing, the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. This is your host, Mer Lafferty. And I had coffee with my friend Michelle this morning, and I haven't talked to Michelle in a long time. And she said she was working on a book, and she was so excited when she'd heard I was doing, like, a podcast about my novel process. And I thought, I'd already planned on doing one this week, but since I'd been so infrequent, I felt really bad to wanted to make sure I got one done today. So it's been a bad week, and I believe one bad thing about, I mean, there's a lot of bad things about podcasting infrequently, but one of them is you can't remember if you've talked about something, and then if you podcast, if you have more than one podcast, you can't remember which one you talked about stuff on. So I'll just be brief. Realized recently that I've been depressed for about 3 months. And the depression was manifesting in me looking at my to-do list going, nah, none of that's really important. Which is how it gets under your skin, because people think, even after you've had it for many, many years, like me, you still had think depression is feeling sad, but that's not necessarily it. And for me, you know, depression is I don't want to do anything. And it wasn't even a I'm sad I don't want to do anything. It's like looking at my to-do list and somehow saying, none of this matters. So once I realized what was going on, I've been a little bit more proactive with my health and stuff. But then, of course, other stuff comes up, like my hemochromatosis, bloodlettings, and this week it's been a migraine. So hopefully, I had one from Tuesday to Thursday, which is today. So I'm really, really hoping, I'm feeling better this afternoon. I'm hoping that I can get some work done tonight and tomorrow and this weekend to catch up. Because yesterday, I got the dreaded question. My agent asked me how the book was going. And the funny thing was, the book's actually, since realizing the whole depression thing and moving on it, the book's going okay. I thought my problem was character. And as I said in the last episode, which I do remember, I was going to just write through it. But I realized I was hitting a wall that I did not anticipate, and that wall was slowing me down, and that was structure. I was not happy with how the book was being put together. As I've said, it's another mystery, and so I have to figure out how to introduce all of the characters and when to put the murder in and all that. And I know some there are tropes for this. There's a standard mystery type, formula. But I don't think that's going to work for me. And I'm not going to tell you why, because that'd probably spoil the book. But I got to make sure that the book is still interesting enough if I don't follow this formula. I believe formula can be really, really powerful. And, you know, people expect things when they read, so, which is why, you know, everyone says romances are easy. They're not, but, you know, they're always the same, because happily ever after, HEA, well, yeah, you buy the romance, because that's what you want. You want to experience the happy ever after, and, you know, you expect it. That's like saying, you know, picking up something in the science fiction section and not getting something science fiction. So, anyway, that's a bit of a tangent. However, don't worry, this is a murder mystery with a murder and a mystery. So, I sat down and I've also got a thing about handwriting versus typing. when I create, when I write my chapters, I have to type. I cannot do a longhand draft the way I've heard a lot of people can. I think too fast, and my handwriting is wretched. So if I try to handwrite as fast as my brain is going, it's going to be illegible. I've been trying to journal more lately and do the artist's way again, which of course has not happened this week because of previous unhappiness, but previously mentioned unhappiness. Half of my writing is, I wonder if anybody's ever going to try to create an archive of my letters and pages and going to get this thing, because they won't be able to read any of this because it's all terrible. But anyway, but when it comes to making notes and brainstorming, it has to be on paper for me. I've gotten countless mind mapping apps for my phone, for my computer. I love the idea of mind mapping. It doesn't work for me. I can't type. I don't feel free to just brainstorm if I'm typing. I don't know what it is, but this is just me and my process. That's what I promised to give you. So I was feeling stuck, so I put my computer away and I got out my notebook and I just started writing what scenes had to happen in the first few chapters. You know, these people had to be introduced. These people had to experience a little bit more story because they're my main protagonists. And a murder has to happen here and here. And, you know, once I just scribbled out all this stuff, and really, it was literally scene one, introduce X. Scene two, introduce Y. Scene three, go back to X and tell what they do next. And that seemed to help me get sort of unstuck with the structure of the book. And even if I don't keep that structure, it at least helped me write more. And, you know, I'm always a fan of editing crappy stuff over trying and failing to write perfect stuff. I'm not saying I'm going to I completely lean on my editors, but, you know, if you're trying to get traditionally published, you get to be a team with people. You become a team, and you know that your editor's there to tell you where you have some weak parts, and the copy editor's there to tell you where the typos are and all that. So if you worry about parts of your book that are weaker, that's what your editor is for, and you can say, I'm going to need help with this part. This is always, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not saying you can turn an absolute dreck and your editor will be just fine fixing it for you, but I mean, it is a team effort, and you can, if you trust your editor, you can hope that they will help you find the spots that need work. So I actually did get quite a bit done with moving along and getting the book a little bit unstuck. And then the migraine hit, so I have not done as much yesterday or today, but feeling a lot better. Hopefully we'll get some stuff done tonight. And as I believe I said, I am taking music lessons. I had my first violin lesson last Monday. It did not suck. I was not terrible. My teacher is they teach all ages at this place, but, you know, more kids than adults go to music lessons. And while kids may absorb things more readily, I actually want to be there where a kid may be pushed. So, but it's funny because the instructor, his teaching methods are geared towards children. So, while I appreciate it being simple as it possibly can, I do now have to put my hand in the form, shape of a bunny, not a fox, because foxes eat bunnies. There's your violin lesson for the day. So I'm doing pretty much my exercises to get my hand strong enough, because hand strength is a big thing in music. Who knew? And all the hand strength I've built up typing does not apply. So I'm hoping that will be a fun outlet for me, a creative pursuit that I don't have to worry about performing for other people. I did have an interesting thing on Tuesday night where I was thinking about something. I was thinking about a book that, a failure, essentially. You know, I don't talk about it much, but I still get a lot of stuff rejected. You know, I did not propose The Shambling Guide and then propose New Orleans and have that accepted, and then propose Six Wakes and have that accepted. I mean, there were lots of books proposed and either rejected by my agent who didn't think she could sell it, or by the editors she sent stuff to. And there's one I really liked, and I thought maybe that would work better as a short story. So actually on Tuesday I was driving and thinking about that, and I came home and I wrote 2,000 words of a short story. So I think I might just send that out to Patreon supporters because they've been so patient with me. But it felt good. It felt really good. So I think my, one thing I've discovered is when you're coming out of a depressive period, you may not notice a difference in the way you feel, but you may notice a difference in the way you're acting. And the way I'm acting is, I'm excited to write again. And I got an idea, and I just ran home, and I put it down. And that made me happy. It's kind of like, you know, you hear about all the dopamine hits that your brain gets when you are playing a computer game or eating something. And all you think of when you eat an M&M is that, oh, that tastes good. But no, it's like there's stuff going on in your brain that you don't realize. And I'm thinking, well, why can't I feel that dopamine hit if it's so awesome? It's kind of like that. It's like I did not wake up deciding I felt better on Tuesday. However, Tuesday night I was all, hey, I'm going to write 2,000 words without stopping because I'm a badass. Yeah. So I think I'm coming out of it, and I'm happy about that. Some excitement. The Hugo nominations came out this week, and there are so many. I mean, it's like last year. There's so many good nominees. It's going to be really tough. The things I'm most excited about are, let's see, FIA, the magazine of black speculative science fiction, got nominated, and they do such good work. And I'm so happy that they've been recognized. A friend of mine, Elsa Shunenson Henry, I'm going to have to ask her. But near as I could tell, she got 3 nominations because 2 magazines that she's worked on were nominated, and then she got a nomination for Best Fan Writer. Also, for Best Fan Writer, my friend and soon-to-be contributor to Ditch Diggers, Alistair Stewart, got nominated for Best Fan Writer, and I am over the moon for him and his nomination. So congratulations to Alistair, Faya, Elsa, and everybody else on the list, because there's some really good stuff on there. Sarah Gailey had a weird little story called Stet, where the story is halfway told in comments from a copy editor. That got nominated. My friend Ursula Vernon got another weird story of hers nominated because she likes to write weird stuff that people love. There's just so much. So don't take my word for it. Go look at the ballot and check stuff out. I bought 2 of the novellas today, but I'd been meaning to, and then, you know, the Hugos told me, yes, you really do need to read this. Oh, and one funny thing, I was talking with Alistair about The Good Place, and I said, what do you think? Last year I was kind of upset, but you know, I was annoyed because my very favorite episode of The Good Place is Chidi's Choice. If you haven't watched The Good Place, and you have access to it, I can't recommend anything higher. I mean, I just really appreciate, I know this sounds simplistic, but I really appreciate stories that funny stories that don't rely on sexist or homophobic or fatphobic or, you know, any of those tropes. Like, I enjoy watching reruns of Friends, but dude, they are so fatphobic, and they think the funniest insult is to call one of the men a girl. And that, and The Good Place rises so far above that. But Chidi's Choice has two women falling in love with Chidi, and they start to fight, and one of them says, "No, we're not going to do that. We're friends. We're going to go out today, and we're going to celebrate our friendship." And then basically they just spend the day together. And they just completely bypassed the whole two women fighting over a dude thing, and it made me so happy. Anyway, sorry, I'm just putting in my belated vote for Chidi's Choice. But anyway, Alistair and I were talking about what we thought was going to be nominated this year, and he thought the brilliant episode Janet's, where one of the people, one of the actresses has to play all of the characters, would be nominated. And I thought the Jeremy Baramee episode would be nominated because it deals with nihilism and it has the most straight man character, Chidi, completely losing his mind and going headlong into nihilism. And it's a wonderful episode. So we were arguing about which one was going to get nominated, and turns out both of them got nominated. So that was Jeremy Baramee and Janet's were nominated. I highly recommend The Good Place. Yeah, and I guess that's everything. It's that's all the stuff about the Hugos to mention. I'll be going to Dublin. I'm excited to do that. Always love going to Worldcon. So if you're going, let me know. And I'll probably have more thoughts later on writing books and writing and the Hugos and awards and stuff. But I'm done with my drive, and I'm sorry about giving you guys the ambient noise on the drive. It's just, I get thinky when I drive, so I want to talk to you. And it's a way for me to kill two birds with one stone when I'm feeling unproductive. But anyway, my daughter's coming. I'm picking her up. I'm going to get some writing done tonight, and I think you should too, because you should be writing. Oh, you want to check me out, merverse.com and mightymer@gmail.com. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I should be writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. That Doctor Who is on TV.